He's charming. He's funny. He knows everybody. He is Art Chat Daddy Sims, and he's only on WVON.
After the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here at VON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you're relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your day may have been. We ask that you let it go. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. Hey, Chicago, if you received a blue light camera violation renew notice from the city of Chicago asking you to contest tickets you have already paid, stop. Don't send that notice back to the city. A Cook County Circuit Court judge has ruled all of those tickets illegal and void. The citizens to abolish red light cameras will be having a special camera violation review notice meeting this Friday, tomorrow night, at Lagos Baptist Assembly, 10833 South Halsted at 7 p.m. Make sure you tell your friends, families, co-workers who may have received a camera violation renew notice to attend this very important meeting. You will get all the information you need to know on how to respond to these notices and what you should do to go forward with actions for a lawsuit that you may be a part of. So make sure you join our good friend, Mr. Mark Wallace, which is a very noble gentleman who has been fighting to help us with these red light cameras. They'll be at Lagos Baptist Assembly, 10833 South Halsted, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Don't pay that ticket. And I don't think I got, I thought I had got one last week, but I haven't gotten a notice yet. I hope not, because that was not my fault. Plus, I was not the cutest thing. So when they send that picture, I'm going to be pissed. But I hope they don't. So listen, it's our Less Talk Hour, and you know, whenever it's Less Talk Hour, we always have some of the most amazing guests ever talking about some really wonderful topics and subjects. And with this being 2017, and I am deeming this the year of all things epic, why not talk about marriage? I think that is so important now that everyone is able to get married, and a lot of you might be newlyweds listening to the show tonight, or a lot of you may want to get married in 2017 or 2018. Our guest tonight is what I consider an authority on the subject, and I'm so honored and happy to welcome her live in studio. Her name is Nikki Winston, and she is the author of the book How to Win Him and Keep Him Happy: Secrets to Becoming an Amazing Wife. And amazing is in capital letters. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together to welcome mother, wife, motivational speaker, minister, and all around just beautiful woman, the one and only Miss Nikki Winston. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Chat Daddy and WVON. I'm honored to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you here. I was so excited when I got your press kit. And, you know, on this show, we talk about just everything under the sun. I love guests who are very open and honest and just tell it like it is. And I think my listening audience appreciates that. And so tonight we're talking about how to win him and keep him happy. So first of all, tell my listening audience a little bit about yourself, who you are. Why in the world would you even write a book like this unless you know what you're talking about? So prove that you know what you're talking about. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. My name is Nikki Winston, as you said, and I'm the super happy wife of Pastor David Winston at Living Word Christian Center. And together we lead, or I assist him in leading Go Hard for Christ Youth Ministry. And so we take care of the youth and some other things. We do some premarital and marriage counseling. Sometimes I counsel women alone who about marriage and things like that. But I wasn't always married to David Winston. So I had a first marriage, and it was just really rough. It was a really rough marriage, and out of it came just a real revelation of what it takes to be a wife.
Okay.
So, you know, we've all been through some tough things, and it's really hard because I see women, and it's painful to go through divorce. We talk about divorce and how people need help with divorce and things like that, but it's really, you don't know the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the abuse was like and what it felt like, or you don't know how the people grew distant and cold from each other, mm-hmm. and how it feels like rejection and you're unwanted and worthless. And there's just so many different stories, and so painful, but a little bit of hope can give you hope.
A little bit of hope can give you hope. I
yes.
like that. I do.
Yeah, so I feel like for some women, for those women who've really gone through, this book is hope.
Okay.
Because you look at it, and I didn't know. I was married at 19 years old, so I did not know what I was doing. I didn't know how to choose. I didn't know how to be a great wife. I didn't have an example of a great marriage mm-hmm. anywhere in my family.
Oh, wow.
And so all I knew was I knew the Bible. I knew I was supposed to follow the Bible. And so when we'd have these big problems and blow-ups and things like that, I would turn to the Bible and I would read and I would try to just find out what I can do better. But things didn't get better.
Okay.
It takes two people for things to get better, and things just didn't get better. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. But what happened was, as a result, I grew. And so just from that experience, I would never trade it. I would never trade it, no matter how miserable it really was.
Now, if you don't mind me, how long were you in the first marriage?
Four years. Yeah.
And it just never got better.
No. And it was within a few months that I found out it was going to be rough.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And I waited and I asked for things and I tried to change things and I tried to kind of tweak what I did. And, you know, it didn't get better. It was very, very painful. And
sure.
I left the marriage feeling worthless, really. But I say that to say, you know, when I see people going through these things, if you can take, you know, they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really true. If you can take that thing, and what I did was I took that thing and I use it to help other people.
Okay.
And so I had some years, maybe 4 years of being single, maybe a little more, and I met David. And he's just an amazing husband. And I remember times when he might get down on himself a little here and there for maybe not, you know, performing as a husband like he really thought he should. You know, not just being the best he could be or whatever it was. It was always so minimal. And I would tell him, I feel like in love. I have love muscles. And I feel like a love bodybuilder. And you're like lifting a feather. It was just so easy to love him because I knew how to love now.
Interesting.
And I'm talking about the love of God, not
okay.
just, you know,
just
romantic
period.
Love.
Just
yes,
period.
I understand
sure.
love. I understand forgiveness. I call myself a forgiveness expert and a love expert. But I really understand it. And so what I did was I took time to develop a curriculum. And I felt like God led me to do this. I felt like he wanted me to teach. And I think, you know, it started with a seed my husband had planted, David. He would tell me, you know, you need to teach women how to do this. You need to teach them this, you know. And I would give advice, and I would advise women here and there, but I didn't know it was going to be anything official at first. And so I developed a curriculum.
So can I ask you this? So what made a big difference in the first marriage versus the second marriage? Even though you knew the first guy was not right, you said the second guy, I guess, was right.
Yes.
So, but you also had to develop some things. And
absolutely.
So what, you know, how did that all come about?
Well, and something that even helped my husband is we often go into marriage with the wrong expectations.
Okay.
So we think things are going to be great, and we think we married our hero, and they're going to be perfect, and they're going to be everything we thought they'd be.
Knight in shining armor.
Exactly. And the second that we see that my husband is human, mm-hmm. and he has flaws,
okay.
we just, it's so disappointing. And offense comes from unmet expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Always, across the board, 100% of the time, I expected you to do this, and instead you did this. Now I'm offended.
Okay.
And so you get offended, and you get offended again, and offended again, and offended again. And so I went into this marriage.
Okay, go ahead.
With the right expectation. And that's something that I teach in the book.
Okay, all right. So when we come back from national news, all that great stuff, we're going to get into your book. I'm
Sir.
Excited to have you here. The one and only Nikki Winston. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. We'll be right back.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here, WVON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you're relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your day may have been. We ask that you let it go. It is happy hour here at VON, so you should have your favorite beverage. We don't care what it is. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. This Saturday afternoon, January 21st at 2 p.m., Chicago State's women's basketball is back on the air. The Fighting Cougars take on the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. Pre-game starts at 2 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago. And, Joseph, I told you them women was fighting cougars. Mm-hmm. I told you they were. Yeah, and these are the young girls fighting cougars. Even the young girls is cougars nowadays. Everybody, I'm a cougar, they a cougar, you a cougar. I know, we are.
No, really
so,
am.
Yeah, so make sure you tune in to their women's basketball game this Saturday with pre-game starting at 2 p.m. So right now I have in studio with me the most beautiful Nikki Winston. She's an author, minister, motivational speaker, mother, wife, you name it. She's written a really cute book, you guys. It's a great read. It's called How to Win Him and Keep Him Happy, Secrets of Becoming an Amazing Wife in capital letters. And so, Nikki, before we went to break, thank you for being here again as well, too.
Thank you. I'm honored. I really am.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. You were telling me all about how you came about writing this book. And then I kind of want to know, what is the number one tip that you tell single women, married women? And then when we go to break again, I got a huge question to ask you, because that's what's going to get the phone lines ringing, because I kind of believe in that theory as well, too. But continue on why you wrote the book.
Okay, well, so we were talking about, you know, the difference between the first and second marriage. And another thing is forgiveness. I came into my first marriage broken. I was just a mess. I didn't know I was a mess. I had daddy issues. I was a girl with daddy issues, and you could see it all over me.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women suffer from daddy issues. That's a show we're going to have one night on here. I don't know if you can help me with that. Who can help me
I'd
with that?
I'd love to. I know
but
all
I,
about
but I
it.
Do, I do know quite a few women that mm-hmm. suffer from daddy mm-hmm. issues, and it carries over into all of their relationships.
Yes. Yes. I know we make jokes about it, but it's a very real thing. And so one thing that brought me through – in those years that I was single, I was in a church where we did these things called encounters. And basically, we forgave. And the focus is really on forgiveness and inner healing. Uh-huh. And so I forgave every single thing I could think of. I forgave fathers, father figures, ex-husband, men who had wronged my mother. You know, I had to forgive everybody.
I get you.
But
I
sought that healing. Mm-hmm. And so I came into my second and final marriage whole, and I was a whole person. So I had all the wisdom from my past, but I wasn't broken anymore. Mm-hmm. It was all fixed up. And so I actually talk in the book. That's the thing about the book. It's not just a bunch of tips. It's not just a cutesy, try this and do this. And there's a whole chapter on forgiveness and inner healing, and it teaches you. It actually goes through the steps of forgiveness, how to do it, different types, different ways you can forgive. And because some people are like, well, I think I forgave them, but there is a very specific way you need to go about forgiveness. It's on purpose. It takes work. It's painful. You have to go through a process mm-hmm. and then heal. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And so I made the curriculum for these women back to about writing the book. So I made the curriculum. And I was going to have a group of women in my home. And what we did was for a whole year, every month, a whole year, I taught a group of women in my home, in my basement. We sat around a table and we learned about basically 11 topics.
Okay.
And out of it came, after I was done, I didn't necessarily intend, maybe until near the end, to write the book. I thought I was just going to repeat the curriculum again and just keep teaching people
over and over again.
I was developing.
Sure.
And what I didn't know until I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart is that I was developing a book and I was getting feedback. So I had a whole group of women from young to old, from teenagers and, adult teenagers to, I want to say, 50s, late 50s.
Sure.
In my basement, my home. And not married to married, not even ready to really not sure if they wanted to ever get married again.
Got you.
So, and I taught these women and got feedback, did a survey, did everything, asked what was the most important thing that they learned. And then out of it came this book. And what I like about the book is that people always want to counsel with you. I love counseling. It's one of my favorite things is to sit down with women, but this book is hours of counseling in one book. This is what I would tell women in one book about marriage.
Let me ask you this, Nikki. What would be probably the number one complaint that women have in this day and age, whether married or single, looking for a man? What is the biggest complaint? Is it that men don't listen to them? Is it that it's the lack of good men out here? Mm-hmm. What would be the number one problem?
Well, I think you have a number one complaint for the two different groups of women.
Gotcha.
The non-married women are saying, where are the men?
Okay.
And why aren't they asking me to, why aren't they trying to court me?
There you go.
So
which I think is so disheartening. It's so many beautiful women out here that I really do feel need to be in great, loving, healthy relationships.
And Worthy women.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know what that's all about. And that's part of why I'm on this radio, to try to just really help our people mm-hmm. come together and love each other.
Yep.
And then what's the other side of that?
The other one, married women. Complain about their husband. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't communicate with me. And what they don't know is men, they communicate. They just communicate like men. And we talk about that in the book. Men don't communicate like women. And if you can be a translator for them, then you can be a lot more fulfilled with your communication with your husband. Not only translate their man communication into woman communication, just for your own personal fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take pressure off. When you take the pressure off someone you want to communicate, they're much more open. Just like, if a counselor brings someone into their office and they want to get them to open up, say a teenager who's, kind of
trouble, confrontational, that type of thing. Sure.
What do? You don't start pressuring them and start asking them all kinds of questions. You wait and you let them open up. You use certain kinds of, I don't want to say tactics because that sounds manipulative, and there's an entire chapter about not manipulating in the book.
But you've got to have a certain skill of being able to let people open up. A lot of people are very frantic and want things to happen instantly.
Right.
And I tell people everything needs time to breathe.
Yes.
And so I think that plays a huge part in, or that might be the best way to say that instead of interrogating or, or you know.
And that frantic, it looks like anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And an anxious woman is hard to live with.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, Proverbs says that it's better to live on the corner of a roof than with a contentious woman.
Oh, interesting.
Yes,
see
yes. That? So if I'm constantly trying to get you to open up, I feel as the woman like I just want you to communicate. It's just all, it's innocent. But the man feels like he's being interrogated and he's being demeaned and he's being made to feel like he's not a good communicator when he never wanted to not communicate with you. You know, he just doesn't communicate like that. So you have to take off the pressure. And there's different methods you can use in the book to make a man feel respected enough, which is really the first thing you need to do with a man, so that he'll want to talk to you.
Okay.
My husband, once he is excited to come home to me, the best part of his day is coming home. And I can say that with confidence.
Okay.
He loves to be with me. He loves to be alone with me because I don't pressure him. I don't pull on him. I make him happy. He's a priority to me.
Now, for a lot of women that may be listening to this, because I have three friends right now that probably need to be in divorce court, but that ain't my business. Oh, it is. It is. You can tell that they're very unhappy in their situation.
Yes.
You can tell that they've given it the best that they could possibly give it. The only problem is that they're either protecting the children or the finances or whatever the case may be. And I hate for anybody to end a relationship. I really do.
I
know people who have been together forever. They love each other, and then they divorce and don't like each other, don't speak. All that is so
good people.
It's demonic to me when you fall apart like that.
And I think this man is horrible, and she thinks she's horrible, but everyone else sees that they're good.
But how does it get to that, though, Nikki? Is it boredom? What is it?
It's miscommunication, misunderstanding, and unmet expectations. So I don't understand how you love me. I mean, so many relationships are passing through my mind right now.
Oh, I'm sure. And a lot of people listening to this, same thing. Yes.
You're not how I thought you were going to be when I married you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still, the thing is, and this is what I have to say, that's still the person you married. Meaning they're still the person who maybe you saw work with the youth at the youth center. And they're still the person that's loving to people. But maybe.
And a great parent to your child, co-parent, or whatever.
Right.
Okay,
But there's these little flaws, and they get blown up bigger and bigger and bigger because you can't see past these things that are not you. So there's another portion in the book, and it's about having different sins and flaws. Okay, so one of my favorite scriptures of all time is Colossians 3:13. And I want to read it to you. Exactly, because I feel like you can't not love the scripture. It says, make allowance. This is the New Living Translation. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. But make allowance for each other's faults is so huge. It doesn't mean I just understand your fault. It means I already know how you are. The example is, I like to have dinner, and I like to have it ready on the table. You tell me you're going to be home at 6:30. Dinner's going to be ready at 6:30. But you're always 30 to 45 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm ticked. I feel disrespected. I feel unloved. I feel like you don't care about my time and all the effort I put for this. I had hot food for you at the time you asked me for it because, you know, and so there's all this pent up frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fault they have. Okay. So their fault, this fault is they're a bad judge of time. This man is a bad, I'm going to use man and woman. So the man's a bad judge of time in
all
this
right.
situation.
Right.
Making an allowance for the fault is not just like, well, I guess that's how it is. It's preparing for it, okay? So now instead of being like, well, I know he's going to be late again because he's always late. And, you know, you say, you know what? I know that my husband is a good person. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say all this, but you have to remind yourself.
Yeah, you do. You have to do affirmations. I'm a huge believer in affirmations. If you want anything to work, yes, you do have to say that. You have to say it, believe it, and stand in it.
And out loud is actually pretty important, too, because Faith comes by hearing.
That's right.
So you have to convince yourself. Now, you change your mind.
It depends on where you're saying it at, though, Nikki, because some people think you're cuckoo for cocoa puffs. But then, I mean, you know, I do believe in saying it.
Say it in the right place.
Right. You just can't be standing up in your office talking about, I believe my man going to come home tonight. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right. Because then people be like, what's wrong with her? Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, he's wonderful, but he's going to be late. He's probably going to be late. I believe he means well. I believe he means to be here at 6:30, and I know he loves me. He's just a bad judge of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the food prepared. I cover it. I put it in the microwave. And then, and this is all in the book. I actually have the text message written out in the book, and you say, hey, hon, I made your favorite dinner. I just wanted to let you know it's in the microwave all ready for you when you come home. You just have to press start. When you get here, you know, let's say in a situation where you go, yes, I love you. Can't wait to see you.
Okay.
Now, this is the same situation. He's late tonight, just like he was last night. But now he doesn't feel guilty. He feels happy. He's a little excited to see you now. And he's not sure quite sure why. And you just did the right thing. And we all know when we do the right thing, we feel good. And when we feel good about ourselves, we do better. We just act better. You know, have you ever misbehaved? And then because you behave badly, you kind of behave more badly.
Uh-huh.
You kind of, you know, and so we put ourselves in a cycle, especially women. I think women, when we do the wrong thing or we say the wrong thing, then we have kind of an attitude. We like keep the attitude.
Right.
And so when you do the right thing, the opposite happens.
Huh. I think a lot of women, though, need to learn to get over the attitude. I think no, I really do. And no disrespect to any woman listening.
Right.
No, you know, I'm not like that. I'm very fair about things. But I think a lot of them need to get over the attitude part. The you know, the way you're saying this is so welcoming and warm and things like that. Where a lot of them like, your behind ain't home. Then look, go on and eat that big breast. Your daddy ain't here because, you know, you used to couldn't eat the breast because that was daddy's piece of chicken.
Yep.
But now that, you know.
I save my husband's food.
Yeah, see that? Oh, so you do. Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So now listen, when we come back from break, we have the one and only Nikki Winston in studio with us. She's the author of the book, How to Win Him and Keep Him Happy, Secrets to Becoming an Amazing Wife. And Nikki, I definitely want to talk about your chapter where you say food, sex, and respect are the three things that brothers need.
Yes,
and I must agree with you on that. I really do.
So good,
Right. Oh, I know it is. Look, I already know. Look, you almost making me channel my inner housewife here. You know what I'm saying? I almost feel like that's what I do anyway. But I get it. But I agree. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about that. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, 773-591-1690. Come on with your questions, comments. If you want, what makes you a wonderful wife? Are you a great wife? What tricks and tools have you used? Do you stress out when your man is a little late, or, you know, what's the breaking point? And if you're sick and tired of a relationship, maybe Nikki can tell you what you might need to do right here. A little therapy on the radio tonight. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. We'll be right back.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube. We're everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Get social with us. The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. WVON.com, the website. Check it out.
Five after the hour right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here at VON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you're relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your day may have been. We ask that you let it go. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. So you guys know it's my Friday, but I'll be back Monday night with another great show. Monday night, we welcome our good friend back to the show, Delta Jones Walker, financial expert, who will talk to us about having a positive financial focus in 2017. A lot of us are still with that negative stuff from 2016. You've got to redirect your energy and start thinking positive about your finances. You need to woo-saw
and pray over your situation, but you got to redevelop all of that. And she's going to talk to us about it. And then our good friend Victoria Knox is back. You know, she's our health and herbalist. And so Monday night, she's going to talk to us about six of the hottest herbs to detox your life in 2017. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about turmeric. Turmeric has been around forever, but turmeric is so hot now, so we're going to talk to her about that and some other things that you can add to your diet every day to just kind of change your situation around. And I know I've been on turmeric. It was a suggestion of somebody who listened to the show, and he was like, "Chat Daddy, try it." And believe it or not, I do feel a difference. So we're going to talk to Victoria about six of the hottest herbs for you to take in 2017 to, kind of change your situation around. All right, so make sure you tune in Monday night, 6 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago. And you know I'm going to talk about all the inauguration coverage. You know I am. I'm going to talk about what Chrisette did and all the other people and how Chrisette cashed that check at the currency exchange for $750,000. Look, she might have to go to the currency exchange. She might have to. Ain't nobody, look, if her bank mad at her, that's where she might have to go. But I digress. I do. Right now I have in studio with me minister, motivational speaker, wife, mother, all-around great woman, book author Nikki Winston, and her book is How to Win Him and Keep Him Happy, Secrets of Becoming an Amazing Wife. And you've been saying a lot of good stuff. You really have. I mean, the information that you are speaking, not only, you know, it is geared towards married women and single women, but I think all people could benefit from this because you're talking about having good communication skills. Mm-hmm. And while we were on break, you were bringing up a point, and then I really do want to get back to those three things because I agree. Every man wants them three things, but let's go back to that other point you were talking about.
Well, before the break, we were talking about how maybe his flaw is that he's not that great with time management, but we don't want to see past. We say, "Oh, I understand people. I'm not judgmental. I'll see past flaws, but not that flaw." Mm-hmm. So, what if his flaw is lying?
Okay,
And you say, "Well, no, I'm good with everything, but that's my deal breaker. You can't lie." Well, you're married to someone who lies a little, okay? So, and of course, hopefully I'm not speaking to anyone out there, but let's just put it out there. Let's say this is the case. So you can't, someone says, "I can't deal with that. That can't be, lying is not okay with me," but you can gossip. And so what if yours is gossip and his is lying? Now, if his was gossip, y'all would have fun all day. You'd mm-hmm. sit down for dinner and just talk.
Yep, and I know a lot of couples like mm-hmm. that.
And beating people up, judging people,
right,
not walking in love, mm-hmm. doing the opposite of the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us. Well, the second one like it, which is to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's not what that is. However, you can't get over this lying. And so why do you expect your spouse to be okay with your flaws and your sin, and you can't get over his? And so love covers a multitude of sins. And we talked about Colossians. Make allowance for each other's fault. Make allowance for something. Know that you're not going to be perfect, and I've forgiven you ahead of time. And so what it boils down to is love. Love. If I can love my spouse properly, I can love anybody, because your spouse is that person that's the closest to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're most likely to offend you. They have the biggest inroad to offend you. I mean, they're right there all the time, and their opinion of you is the most important opinion of anyone besides your maker.
Mm.
Okay? And so if you tell me you disapprove of something about me, it can destroy you. And so I'm saying that to say, if you can love your spouse, if you can cover whatever it is that they do with love, then you can cover anybody.
What would be a deal breaker, though? Like infidelity?
You talk about in marriage?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like to say infidelity. However, I know marriages that have gone through infidelity and come out a lot stronger.
Uh-huh.
So I would say if someone was a serial infideliter, mm-hmm. a serial adulterer,
okay,
and was not giving up, was refusing to change, I think there's a period where you wait and you believe and you pray and that that's going to change. And if you know, you don't want to put yourself in a position of abuse where you know you're going to be there. Like, if let's just say someone was beating their spouse. You don't go back to that and knowing you're going to get beat again.
Yeah,
you go back and you're
beat,
and your kids
breaker.
Are probably going to get beat, and there's
that's
a chance
right, yeah.
that your life is going to be taken.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So the same with multiple types of abuse.
Okay.
There is a season, if you are safe, physically safe, for you to believe that there's going to be a change in weight. But if that spouse shows no desire, no sign, then you should separate yourself from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even still believe for your marriage to be healed, but it takes two.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know, I know a couple who there was infidelity and it was rough. And I came to meet with her and I thought she was going to say, you know, we're through. But she said, I'm in faith for my marriage. I'm going to believe for my marriage. And she didn't have a negative thing to say about her husband. She was just, I've never seen, this is the best wife I've known. Mm-hmm. They teach on this now. But she didn't have a negative thing. And, you know, it all turned around. And he's a great husband now. They are doing amazing. And it's been years. It's been a while. Yeah, okay. It's not like he's had his opportunity.
Because people really do want to throw the hat out or throw it. You know, they like, oh, I'm sick of you. The first time that somebody slips up.
Right.
And a lot of times, really, if you sit down and talk to the person and figure out why, and it might be something with it, you know, one of you slipping on something.
Right,
or,
right.
And,
yeah.
And it happens. You know, we live in a world just full of temptation in this age. So, you know, okay.
I can't say which way I would advise. I would say it's per situation. But I will say this. Women should not be surprised if their husband is thinking about stepping out on them when they have been emasculating him and withholding sex for I don't know how long. If you have no sex life.
I know one thing. Look, even
spouse.
The cat raised his paw up back there. Look, cat was like, meow.
I saw the cat.
Meow. I know. That cat said, meow. Old as that cat is. He talking about, meow. Yeah, he got what you said.
See,
he agrees. I do too.
So we can't. You can't starve. You wouldn't starve your child and then be mad at them for going and eating at the neighbor's house if the neighbor offered them some good food.
That's right.
Right. And I'm not saying that a man has an excuse. A man, there's no excuse. You need to behave. You need to know how to control yourself. Mm-hmm. But don't you be surprised if you're the woman and not understand. That's not fair. You need to take some responsibility, some level of responsibility. Everyone was wrong in the situation.
Okay, so now I told you my favorite part of the book, again, because I agree, hands down, the three things that men that, you know, love
the most.
That's right, a man's three basic needs, food, sex, and respect.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hands down, it is.
And so, hallelujah.
There we go. So how did you come up, or you right? What made you, as a woman, think of that?
Well, I cannot take the credit. I actually first heard, now he consulted with me. We had a conversation, you know, because he had to teach this. But I actually first heard my husband teach this. And he was teaching on marriage to some young men. And he taught about a man's three basic needs in marriage. And he said it's their food, sex, and he has often in parentheses, and respect. And
I don't blame him. Now, he's right. That's what it's supposed to be, often, frequent, any of them words that mean a lot of. I don't blame him. Yes.
Uh-huh. And you know, women out there, probably there's multiple women listening that are like, oh, No, that's not just, they don't like to hear that.
Right, I get it.
However, I will say that while saying this, my husband is gentle, he's kind, he's loving, he's the most humble man I've ever known. He's in touch with his feminine side, he's a great communicator. He is my superhero. However, he still has this to say. So he's a great man. He's not some chauvinist pig who has some attitude, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person. He loves everybody. And he's still saying it.
But now let me ask you this. Is that because your husband is in the position he's in of being a minister, where a lot of these women out here might have the truck driver, the salesman, the dude that was the playboy that finally settled down to get married? Because you do have a husband that is an example of a good man.
Right.
Where some women, you know, hey, this dude got a good salary, he was great in bed, whatever the case may be. And it might be a little BS that go along with it. But, you know,
how... Are you asking, is that why he's a good husband?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have seen so many ministry families either dissolve, break up, or live in misery, because it's the biggest complaint from a minister's wives. There are groups that are formed, and because minister's wives can play second fiddle. Mm-hmm. So many minister's wives think that their husband puts the church first.
Okay.
So everyone has a complaint about their spouse, but just being a minister does not make him a good husband.
Okay.
I can tell you what I think makes him a good husband is humility. The first thing I noticed about him, other than that he was cute,
He was lovely cute.
He's so humble. He's the most humble man I know. And that's not because he's a minister. He wasn't a minister when I met him. He was actually on the track to become a cardiologist. He was going to school.
Okay.
He was in school, pre-med. young. That's why I said earlier that I was a cougar. Right. I'm not a cougar, but I did marry a man who's a good amount younger than me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He was trying to spit game, and I was like, if you were 5 years older, I'd talk to you in a minute, but you're not. We were texting.
Okay.
And he said, age ain't nothing but a number. He quoted Aaliyah. And I was like, no, this young man did not just quote Aaliyah on me.
Okay.
That's besides the point.
I don't mean to get off track. No. This is we loving this. We loving every month. Because I get that. Because really, in this day and age, a lot of women are thinking about younger guys now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I highly recommend it. Make sure he's not way too young.
At least legal. But, yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, at least
legal.
Right.
At least, like, where he can have a good job.
Okay.
You know, where he's not just... Not just
Look,
legal,
I'm gonna have you back. I'm gonna have you back for many topics. You fascinating. I'm enjoying this.
We have all types of stuff to talk about.
Right.
But a good husband is made of someone who's teachable and open and doesn't. It's so important. You know, just as much as I want to talk to these women, there's a book for husbands coming in 2018. My husband and I are going to co-author it to these men. And they're like, I think women think that I only think women need help. That's not the case. This is just the book I was supposed to write right now.
Gotcha.
Men need help, and what I see is this pride. Like, I got this. I'm the man. I'm going to lead all this. So you just sit back and do what I say. And that's not okay. When you have a man that says, I want to partner with you. I want to make sure that your dreams come true, too. I want to help you. And I want you to help me. And I need your help. And still acknowledge the order. There's an order. And I love my husband. I look up to him. I should. I admire him. He's not perfect. I don't look up to him just because. Because there are those times when, you know, he's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But... my job is to restore my respect, to always be constantly replenishing respect. And that's part of, you know, we talked about food, sex, and respect,
right?
That's
right. Uh-huh.
So respect is not just something. It's something that maybe he has to earn initially. But when you are married, you're supposed to respect your husband really whether he deserves it or not. And the reason is not because he needs you to look to – it's not about submission or subservience. It's that he needs that. It's a need for him. When he feels disrespected, he feels unloved. The same feeling that women feel when we feel unloved, like they didn't approve of us and we're criticized and we're not good enough, that when you disrespect a man, he feels not good enough and unloved. Same feeling. Like, I want the women out there to imagine the feeling when you've been disappointed by what whoever you're in love with has come to you with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad feeling. It's a terrible feeling. Some people get mad, defensive, sad, whatever it is. Now, a man feels that same feeling. They're just as fragile as we are. It looks different. And it's very important. If you want to love him, you love him by respecting him. It's actually in the Bible. And that's the thing is people, they think of the Bible and they think, oh, that just tells women to submit to men. And that actually says submit one to another.
Right. It does.
But I mean, it does say to submit to your husband, but it also tells the husband to submit. And there's a different type. Everyone has a different type of submit they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, husbands love your wives and women respect your husbands. And it's interesting how women, they're so resistant to that word, respect. But it's not about, it's a form of love. And so I teach actually how to respect, what to do if you've disrespected him. There's a script in here. If you have disrespected your man, what to say to him. And it will restore this thing in him that can allow him to really behave toward you like you want him to behave toward you.
Hmm.
If I'm a man and I feel emasculated, I don't know how to, it's hard for me to be manly toward you.
I agree.
And by manly, I mean a gentleman.
That's right.
So,
well, now, somebody had actually sent me a tweet saying dealing with men that are mama's boys, you know, here the wife is treated one way and the mother is treated another.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you help that dynamic? Because somebody just tweeted me about that.
Okay.
Like, you know, to ask you people for some reason tweeting me tonight. They're not calling in, but they tweet. How do you handle that situation when it's a mama's boy?
Mm-hmm.
He has a very special relationship with his mother. But you as the wife feel like, you know, that mama might be controlling that situation,
mm-hmm.
or better yet, he gives the mother more respect than he does the wife. How do
right,
you deal
right.
with that?
Well, I definitely am a fan of peaceful confrontation. And so before you address it, I think you should get alone, come to terms with it. First, like we talked about, be able to cover it with love. Be able, not because he should be that way, but because it's your job to love. So be able to cover the fault. But once you feel like you kind of the emotions are out of it, Okay, you've resolved that he loves his mom and he wants to respect her and he grew up respecting her. And maybe she's a really strong woman, mm-hmm. but you're strong too and you need a level of respect as well.
Okay.
So you get to that point where you just understand. Then peacefully confront. Not with an attitude. Because when you come with an attitude, why are you this way with your mama? And you know when you're not acting like you deserve respect. I don't want to respect you. You're not being respectable.
Right.
Not that he shouldn't have given you that respect. But if you're trying to solve a problem, be a problem solver. Be solution oriented. Don't sit there and act up and then demand respect. That doesn't demand respect. I think the men in my life that I respect the most are ones who are soft-spoken, who are steady, who are even, who are not emotional, honestly, who don't, like, talk constantly, you know. So be respectable. Come to him and talk to him about how you feel. Let him know that you would like, you know, and get his feedback. Because some men will say, yeah, I know. She shouldn't come over unannounced. And, you know, she shouldn't really give us advice, that kind of advice on how to, you know, work with our children or your pregnancy or, you know, that kind of thing. A lot
sure.
of times they come in when they think they're a better mother. They think they're better
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't. So you have to give them some tools to address mom. Also, I think a sit down with all three without emotion. And I say
I agree.
Because you need to
yes.
sit and wait until
yes.
your emotions are out of it.
Yep.
Have dealt with it, you know, maybe even talked to a marriage counselor at church or someone that you trust,
mm-hmm.
not your girlfriend
right.
that has a problem with it also.
That's right. Or she may not have a man either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that you look up to and respect the relationships and then sit down and peacefully confront everyone, you know, and you have to say, I know how much he loves you. I love you too. But I often feel disrespected when this. And it's just, it's kind of like 101, communication 101 when it comes to that. And if he can't, you have to decide to cover the fault, unfortunately, because it's a fault. So we don't look at it as he should do this. Yes, he should do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can't for some reason, you can encourage, you can try to develop things, and you can come up with solutions. But there is a point at which they're only going to change if God moves on their heart.
Like interesting.
Gonna, yeah.
Interesting. Now, I'm curious to know your advice for single women out there.
Okay.
You've been married twice.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in a great relationship. Things mm-hmm. are well. Wonderful husband. So you've been through the good, the bad, the indifferent, all
yes.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So many women out here who are single. I was just earlier today, had lunch with somebody. You know, Chad Daddy, I'm just waiting on God to bring me a man. I just, you know, every day I just pray and all that. I don't know. I mean, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do believe that God does bring everybody who they need in due time.
Yes.
But for a lot of these women, the time, the clock is ticking.
Yes.
You know, they want to
yeah.
have children. They want to be
mm-hmm.
married. A lot of women, you know, I know here they are 45, 50 years old, still no man, no
mm-hmm.
marriage, any
mm-hmm.
of that. What advice would you give to those type of women?
Mm-hmm. I have a few pieces of advice.
Okay.
First of all, this is just kind of the thing that covers everything, is don't lose heart. There is someone, and he's there, and he's probably available and waiting and ready, but trust, you got to, and again, I'm a minister, trust God and know that there is something, the best thing for you. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, we'll put
now,
that
now
here.
Now, sister girl from around
yes,
the block.
There we go.
Now, I know you're a minister.
We got,
okay.
yeah. So we got many different types of women. Let's take
right.
the praying woman.
Okay.
We got some women who's not setting themselves up for that man. Multiple reasons. One, there's a level of, you have to be attractive. Okay. And I'm not talking about looks. I'm not talking about you have to be naturally attractive. I'm saying, first of all, you can't be frowning in everybody's face. I know someone who a man approached her and she wants a husband and she has a level of interest in this man. And he said, hey, are you married? And she said, married to Jesus. And he's like, oh, can't compete with that then. Walked on.
I don't blame. Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
So first of all, you look a little
married
crazy.
To Jesus. Girl, have several
yeah.
seats.
We're all married to Jesus. We
right.
are the church.
Have several seats.
But when you
right.
when you talk like that to someone,
yes.
you look a little crazy.
Yep.
A little.
No, honey,
and,
a lot.
And then and then you look like you have an attitude. Like, I don't want you. That's what you're saying. I don't want you. You're putting your hand up in their face.
Mm-hmm.
So, or a woman who's always got like a frown on her face, has an attitude, is negative or you go to talk to them, and there's always some sad story or some just exhausting to speak. You got to work on your attitude. Mm-hmm. Forget a husband for a little while, and for a couple months, work on your attitude.
Just work on getting a man, period. Not just a husband, but a man, period.
Right. You know, it's hard to attract anyone if you just are unattractive to everyone.
That's right.
Okay, number three, you can't walk around looking crazy and bad. And expect a man to approach you. If you have on, and this is in the book, I actually have one of the things is looks from three different genres. You should not have a church hat, a puffy coat, or something even like a pink tracksuit, and then some old sneakers like nurse shoes from 1960.
Right, right.
Or you know, you can't have all different genres.
That's
also
right. Right.
Carrying more than three bags if you're not shopping.
That's right. Pajama pants are not supposed to be worn in the streets
right,
all the time.
Exactly.
That hair bonnet, that's right. All of that, all of that mess.
Put a pretty scarf
that's
on,
right.
Not
that's
an ugly scarf.
Stop leaving the house looking like you're the hired help.
And then
I
wonder
agree.
Where the man is.
That's right.
Okay, and then fourth. Now, that there's multiple rules for being attractive, and actually there like are multiple ones in here. And I sought the advice of multiple good men that most of the people, the women I know, would consider them good men, okay? And I went with their advice plus a little more, grooming, hygiene, things like that. But also, when he does come, when someone approaches you, you can't just decide nobody's good enough. So you have to give a man a chance. You have to give him a chance. If he always wears this uniform and you don't like his uniform at work and he approaches you and you don't like, you're going to say no because he looks bad in his uniform. Well, how do you know that he wasn't going to wear? Right. How do you know he wasn't going to wear a three-piece suit looking like suited to the nines, gorgeous, get a haircut right before your
date?
Right. Like, you got to give him a chance. Also, this is just kind of a side note about giving him a chance. Style is conditional. It's temporary. So for the ladies that don't like a man because of their style, most men are open to change. Most men are open to you kind of like helping them, because a lot of single men don't know how to dress. They're not putting time into it. They're not like looking up stuff online.
Yeah,
they're looking at fashion magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't really care a whole lot.
True.
It's about comfort or whatever. So give a man a chance, even if you don't like his style. If you don't love his job at the moment, if he's a hard worker, give him a chance. Have
Look,
a conversation.
If he just got a job.
That's nice, too.
That's right.
But talk to him. Maybe he's got some ambitions that you don't – maybe he's doing this job that you don't like, but what he's trying to do is open up a home for children. And that's what you – you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So you got to give someone a chance, because I know a lot of women. One of the biggest problems I see with beautiful, wonderful women is that they are not giving men a chance. They're just immediately, for one little reason or another, shutting it down.
Wow.
And I don't think that's fair.
I don't either. I think that we live in a world where everybody should have somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see us in just loving and nurturing relationships.
Yes.
I don't care, black, white, gay, straight, whatever the case may be. We should be just a little bit more loving as a people.
Helping
find you
grow.
Somebody. You'd be surprised how, if you really did find somebody to help you grow in this world, how much more your money will go,
mm-hmm.
how much, you know, you can develop and build things. But I think we're in such a society now where we just don't like each other. We so mad and upset. We won't give anybody a chance. And you'd be surprised. You might be looking a gift horse in the mouth. And the way I look at it, Mr. Ed was worth a lot of money. So you better start looking at them horses a little bit different. That's the way I look at it. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
like Chris said, Michelle.
That's right.
The people are not looking at her through the lens of love. They're not thinking the best of her.
That's right.
And she has been. Love is on her voice.
That's right. Because I'm telling you, she came out to this community several times.
Yep,
this
so
community
maybe,
where this radio station
yep,
is at.
Maybe
yes.
She's going to be the thing that changes everybody's heart and mind. Maybe she's going to say something at the inauguration or change our president's heart. You don't know what she's going to do, but she's representing a people that need to be represented. And I heard some people talking about should African Americans meet with the president? Absolutely. How is he going to know what to do to help people, to help the African American community, if he doesn't talk to them?
Come on now.
Some of the smartest and most intelligent African Americans need to meet with him so that he can help the community, so he can learn what it is that is needed.
I took a picture with the man 10 years ago. Absolutely. I'm probably the only black man with a picture with Donald Trump. And people were so mad and upset. Chat Daddy, you need to take that off. I'm finna send that man that picture of he and I. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to explain to that man what has happened in my life over the last 8 years, and maybe he can help me out. I don't know.
Right, right.
I mean, I've gone to my own people for help and have asked, and nobody wants. Hell, I'm going to give him a chance. Mm-hmm. And that's what mm-hmm. we have to do with any situation.
Right.
Your votes didn't help, so yeah. now you need to figure out how do you get help out of the enemy. And that's just the way the world works. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't know. Let me get off my soapbox. So, Nikki, when we come back, we're going to close out. You're going to tell people how to get this wonderful book. Mm-hmm. You've won another round with me again, because I think it's a lot of things you and I can talk about. People are sending me messages now saying, great show. And don't worry, when the phone does not ring, that's a good thing, because
okay,
that
well,
means
I'd
they're listening. They're listening.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. That's what that means. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. We'll be right back.
All right.
He's charming. He's funny. He knows everybody. He is Art Chat Daddy Sims. And he's only on WVON. The talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON. Sherwin, Chicago.
After the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, I cannot believe this old clock on the wall is telling me it's almost time to go. Before I say goodnight to my guest and let her do her final say-so, and I may even get a phone call in, I want to take a few moments to thank everyone who helps me to put this amazing show together each and every night. My technical engineer, the one and only Mr. Joseph Luckett, thank you so very much, sir. I appreciate you. My news anchor and the love of my life, the one and only Miss Robin Lewis. Thank you so very much, my love. To our photographer and our sports enthusiast, Mr. Mallory Saunier, better known as Uncle Mal. To Miss Edria Brown, who handles things while I'm on the air, my assistant. Thank you so very much. To the entire WVON staff and family, thank you guys for allowing me to come here 4 nights a week and do what I love to do. And has talked to the best audience ever. I love you guys so very much. Why? You love, accept, and appreciate Chat Daddy, and Chat Daddy feels the same way about you guys. I'll be out and about this weekend, so I'll see a lot of you at various events this weekend. And now in studio, we have with us the one and only Nikki Winston, minister, author, mother, wife, all around, everyday good girl. I just love her. She tells it like it T.I. is, and we just love it. Her book is How to Win Him and Keep Him Happy, Secrets to Becoming an Amazing Wife. And I told Nikki during the break that I would love to have her back, because there's a lot of different things that we really do just need to have open and honest dialogue about, because that's what's wrong. I want love to come back. I do. I think a lot of our world problems could be cured, healed, made better, just if we love to love to learn, learn to love. I'm right.
You.
I'm so overjoyed. I may cry any minute. So, Nikki, what were you saying before we went to break? No, I don't know. Do we know? Okay, wait. I don't know. We've been saying so much. Let's take a call. Let's take a call real quick. Let's talk to Dave on the South Side. Good evening, Dave. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Pleasure.
I always love listening to your show. I just want to say that your guest, Mrs. Winston, she brought a lot of great points immediately in my mind. I thought that it was truly very beneficial for men to read her book and also listen, because she brought a lot of points regarding forgiveness, forgiving yourself, and also forgiving the people in your past, they can move forward. And also, I realized that this would be a great, great point that men should be aware of and also learn from and also communicate, help them communicate effectively. And thirdly, I believe that a lot of men are really experiencing the same challenges as women as well.
I do too. Well,
if I have a question,
yep.
What can they do to be amazing a man compared to themselves to be a husband? Financially, spiritually, emotionally, and also physically.
Okay.
Now, how can you be a wonder wife if you're all jacked up or you're not setting time to really examine yourself to be position yourself prepared for that wife?
So you're asking what can a man do to get in position to be a good husband?
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to hang up and let her answer that, and then we're going to close out. Thanks a lot. All right, go ahead, Nikki. And that probably is part two to this.
Yes.
Because that's so much to cover, because I agree. I'm so glad a man called in and said what he had to say, but respond to him, and then let's close out.
I'm actually going to agree with him. He had a lot of wisdom in his call and his comments. For it, he said financially. Forgiveness. You have to forgive others, forgive yourself. We've all made some terrible decisions. Forgiving yourself is huge in order to be able to have the self-esteem to move on and do well.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure all your ducks are in a row. Your relationships are good. I would say do inventory. Ask your relationships that you have currently. Is there anything you think that I have about me that's holding me back from marriage or from a wife or that would make me a better husband? I think that is huge. I ask my children. I have four children. And I ask at least the older ones on a regular basis, even the other ones, are you happy? Are you happy with your life, and is there anything I can do to be a better parent? Same with marriage.
Very good. Your book is 148 pages. It's a pocket book that you can put in your purse, read, pocket, backpack, whatever.
It is a quick read.
What's the best way to get in touch with you and follow you and all that great stuff?
You can follow me on Facebook at I Am Nikki Winston. It's 1K, so I A-M, Nikki, N-I-K-I, Winston. On Instagram, I'm Nikki Winston. On Twitter, Nikki Winston. And you can also visit my website at NikkiWinston.org. And from there, on the products page, you can order the book. You can just click. It'll send you to Amazon. If you want to go straight to Amazon, you can. And just look up How to Win and you'll get it.
How to what?
If you just, it's How to Win Him and Keep Him Happy. But if you type How to Win
Then
it comes up on it.
It'll pop right on up.
So
that's what I'm talking about.
You don't need to type all that.
So you will promise me that you will be back again.
Absolutely.
I
would love to come back. Thank you. I need
you to come back.
Thank
you did
you
a great
invite.
Job. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of another show. Our good friend Xavier Ramey is coming up next, and he's going to be our host tonight. He's a powerful dude, got a lot to say. I'm excited to hear what he has to do tonight. I'll be back Monday night for another great show. I love you guys so very much. Nikki, thank you. I love you.
Thank you.